Matthew chapter 7, we read did the whole chapter and read the end of it, or preached on the end of it this morning. Now I'm going to preach on the beginning here, preaching about checking ourselves. Checking ourselves. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rent you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Father, I pray that you would help us now this evening. Help us as we preach thy word. I pray that you would touch the hearts of those that are gathered here this evening. God, you knew who would be here, Lord, who would need this message, God. And there's a reason you've given it to us, Lord. I need it. God, I need to hear preaching, even myself, Lord, hear myself preach, God, to know what I need to say. And I pray that you would touch my mouth this evening. I pray the words would come forth that you want me to say. Help me, Lord, to expound upon this scripture and give what you've given me and what thus saith the Lord. May you get the glory and honor out of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're talking about checking ourselves here. Now, go through this scripture and look at a few things, and then I'll give you the things that we're supposed to check ourselves about. If you start here in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1, "Judge not that ye be not judged." It's a very popular scripture that a lot of people like to pull out of context when you start telling them all about the way that they're living. And they say, "Judge not, judge not." But they forget what the rest of it says. It says, "Judge not that ye be not judged." And so how are you going to be judged? Verse number 2. "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged." So if you're judging somebody, looking at them and judging, we make judgment calls every day of our life. I mean, you know, every time you get out on the road, you're making judgments, whether I've got the time to make it. These people that think, oh, you shouldn't judge people, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. He also gives the verse there later on in the scripture we talked about this morning, "By their fruits you shall know them." So, you know, somebody don't like, but we make judgment calls every day of our life. And one of the judgment calls, especially saved people, we make, sometimes we look at people and we say they're lost. That's a judgment call. We're to judge somebody according to that. We're to judge whether, so we know how to pray for them and how to witness to them. So we're to judge. "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged." Well, I can be judged according to whether I'm saved or not. So we need to make that judgment call. We're to make that judgment call and look at those things. Listen, what he's talking about here is if some Christian is living in sin, and then they go around telling others how they ought to be living, and they're doing something. God said, "You're going to be judged for that. You're going to be judged for that." I was listening to Brother Banks. Now he's got me worried. Now I've got to make sure I preach on everything. I was listening to Brother Banks, our pastor's pastor. I love getting out here. Let y'all meet Brother Banks. And Brother Banks, in this message I was listening to, I think he's at this, the one I got here in my office I was listening to. I got one in my office I was listening to, and one in my truck I was listening to. Two different messages. The one in my office is the one he preached at his church. The one in my truck is the one he preached at our church. But the one in here, he's talking about that preachers, he says you can tell what kind of sin preachers get into because of what he quits preaching against. And I thought, man, brother, thank you for telling me that. I'll make sure I continue to get everything. But he said, when a preacher is doing something he ought not to, maybe he's looking at things on the internet he shouldn't be doing, or talking to women like he shouldn't be talking, you'll see he'll stop preaching on those kind of things. Why? Because he's afraid of judgment. He gets afraid of judgment. So listen, that's why we're to keep our lives clean, walk uprightly before the Lord, and live the way we're supposed to live, so that we can. We're not out here, the difference between judgment, a lot of people get things good. You pass judgments. Anybody pass a judgment, we can't pass sentence. Just because I look at somebody and I say, they're lost, I make that judgment. I can't pass the sentence on them and condemn them to hell. See, people like when you make a judgment call, well, you're condemning them. No, we make a judgment call when we look at things every day of our life. We make judgments on that, and when we get up, you get up, you look at your clothes, you say, you make a judgment call. Is this what I want to wear today? You know, is this the way I'm going to fix my hair today? Those are judgment calls. But when you're looking at somebody that's lost, or you're looking at somebody that's in sin, and you're saying something to them, you're not passing sentence. You're trying to help them. You should be, anyway. Problem is, a lot of people, what they do is, rather than trying to want to help people, they look at others and say, I'm glad I'm not a sailor. Some of you may know, and the Lord just touched my heart, and I didn't really put it in my thing, my verses of Scripture I've got, but there's a verse of Scripture, I can look it up after service if you want me to, but there's a verse of Scripture where Jesus gives, talking about the altar, and he talks about a publican and a Pharisee, and I think it's in the book of Matthew. It may be on down about chapter 18, 17, 18, somewhere there, but anyway, this Pharisees come to the altar, and the Bible says he stands there by the altar and he says, Lord, I'm glad I'm not as other sinners are, as other men are. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all I have. And then that publican comes in and he bows on the altar, and the Bible says he smote himself on the breast and would not so much as look up. He was so ashamed for the sin that he did. He would not so much as look up. Who went to their house justified? The Pharisees or the publican? We know the publican did. But a lot of people, that's what we do. They look around, and what a lot of people, especially even Christians, do when they're deciding whether to live right, they never find the standard, which is Jesus. They always find the low Christian on the totem pole and say, Lord, I'm better than that Christian. Yeah. They only go once a week. I go twice a week. Their kids, man, they're wild. Well, my kids ain't that bad. That's what they're doing. That's what Jesus is getting here. He's trying to tell us to stop looking like others. Now, we're making judgment calls. But there's a lot of people that we know that that's how they live their life. They live their life looking at everybody else and measuring themselves. We read it last week, those that that measure themselves, I got it right here. I'm going to look up what scripture it is now. They that, I know it's in Corinthians, let's see. 2 Corinthians 2:10. 2 Corinthians 2:10 says, set it backwards in there. It was 10:12. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number. Don't be one of them, he says, Paul said. Don't be one of those ones that numbers or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Those that pass, you know, you probably we've all worked one on the job site, you know. They're always the one patting himself on the back. Yeah, you couldn't have changed that transmission tie the time that I changed that thing. You know, I worked with the guys like that. They thought, I worked with a couple of them, probably more than that. I know I worked with two of them. My wife knows it. They thought they were God's gift to electrical work. I mean, that's exactly what they thought. They were God's gift to electrical work. Nobody did it as good as they did. Nobody knew as much as they did. Man, that's the one thing about electrical work that I liked. It's always changing. There's always new stuff coming out. So it's always something new to learn. That's why I liked. That's why I really loved electrical work. Because there's always, but there's some like that. They dare, he says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, pat themselves on, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Those people that always look around and they're always looking at everybody else and they're going, well, I'm better than them. God doesn't want us to spend our lives. He's given this scripture so that we can check ourselves. We need to worry about ourselves first. We can't help nobody else. We can't help nobody else get out of the muck and the mire until we get ourselves out of the muck and the mire. You can't help somebody, teach somebody or tell somebody about being saved unless you've been saved. So he says here, but judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met it, it shall be measured to you again. Man, why don't you think about that next time you think about judging somebody? Think about how much mercy you're extending to them. Excuse me. A lot of times we look at people that do bad, and we think, man, they deserve to die. And you know, people, I've been asked as a Christian, how can I be for the death penalty? Well, I know, and sometimes it is, I think, man, it's a deterrent. It is supposed to be a deterrent. And people often say, well, you know, who gives you that right to make that decision? And I understand what they're saying because these people, God died for everybody. Listen, I know it's hard for people to accept. God died for Ted Bundy. God died for that. What's the one here from Kansas? The UK? What? The BTK killer. Christ died for Adolf Hitler. And so the Bible says that God's angry with the wicked every day. But he also takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they turn from their sins. Why? Because his son died for them too. He doesn't want them to die and go to hell. But a lot of times we're like, that wicked person, man, needs to die. Now, I try not to wish death on nobody. You know, and there's certain people, man, that do, especially these people that mess with kids. And then that's when I go back to the scripture. Jesus said, anybody that offends one of these little ones, messes with one of these little ones, it's better for a millstone to be attached to their neck and thrown into the sea. That's why I go back to it. Because anybody mess with kids, man, But you know, Jesus still died for their sins too. And so we need to be very, very careful about how we look at people and how we observe others and the way that we consider the other. He says here in verse number 3, now I got to hurry up so I get through this. But why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? Now this mote is like a little bitty splinter. Now that's what he's talking about here. Jesus said, here's the way that we look at things. We look at others. And we see, oh, it's easy for us to see brother so-and-so back there. He's got a problem with smoking. Brother so-and-so over there, he's got a problem with cussing. And we see their little bitty splinter in our eye. And he said, but you're missing that big old beam that's sticking out of yours. And he said, you got to get the stuff out of your life first before you can go telling others. He said, too many people. He said, thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam that is in thine own eye to get the stuff out of your life. He says, then that's what I'm getting is checking ourselves. That's what we're to do. We're to check ourselves first. We need to examine ourselves. Number one, so I'm running out of time and I need to hurry up. Number one, I know I said it this morning, but I just want to reiterate, I can't get the word out. You know what? Reiterate this evening. Number one, when we're checking ourselves, we need to make sure we're in the Savior. We need to make sure we're in the Savior. We have the Savior. We need to make sure, because you read through here, this whole scripture goes together. This whole thing is of, he's teaching and flowing. And he's talking about the brother having a beam in his eye, and then he's talking about the other, or you having a beam in your eye, your brother having a little splinter in his eye. And then he continues on now, and he gets down to the bottom part, like we talked about this morning. He's talking about those that have deceived themselves. They've fooled themselves into thinking they're saved. Those people that walk around holier than thou. So we need to, when we're checking ourselves, Paul himself said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. We need to check ourselves to make sure that we're in the Savior and the Savior in us. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter 2, verse number 20. We need to check ourselves, make sure we're in the faith. Here's what 2 Peter chapter 2 says, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now this is talking about those that come into a church. They get preached to. God's trying to get them saved. God's trying to deal with them. We talked about this. God can't move into a dirty house. He comes in. The Holy Spirit of God will come in. He'll clean up a little bit. And before he moves in, you have to receive him. But that spirit goes out because you don't get saved. And what happened? That demon that left you, the Bible says, goes out and finds seven more wicked than himself. And the end is worse than the beginning. And so he says here, for they have escaped the pollutions of the world. They come into the church. They hear the truth through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said they are again entangled therein. They go back out into the world and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And you'll see that. Listen, you stay around, you get saved, and you see people long enough. We've seen it multiple times. People come in, get under conviction. They don't get saved. They go out, and they get tangled back in. He said their end, latter end, is worse than the beginning. He said, verse 21, for it had been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. I said it this morning. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. There's still a dog. There's still a sow. There's still a pig. They still return to the mud. They still return to the vomit. I'm just telling you this evening, we need to check ourselves about the Savior. We need to be checking ourselves. Paul was one of the greatest preachers I told you about in the New Testament. And he told the people that made professions under his ministry, examine yourselves whether they be in the faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, unless you have believed in vain. If Paul had people like that, we're going to have people in our churches. I mean, I wish that everybody that came in and made a profession under my ministry truly got saved. But if the great preacher Paul, that knew the Word of God inside and out, had people that made false professions, we're going to have them in our day and time. So you need to make sure you're in the Savior. You need to examine yourself. Before you go questioning others, checking others about whether they're saved, you need to make sure that you're saved. You make sure that you got the Savior and the Savior has you. I know the Lord. Yep, the devils know and tremble, believe and tremble too, but that don't make them saved. Number two, before we go judging others, and we need to make sure we got the Savior, we need to make sure that we've got no sin in our life. Before we go criticizing others, you know, it's amazing. Troubles come in people's lives, and the first thing people think is, oh, they got sin in their camp. They must have sin in the house. They got sin in their life. No, we've talked about it. Paul went through a lot of troubles. You're going to have troubles in this life. Sometimes you're going to face them. It's not always sin, but I'm telling you, you as yourself, before you go judging others, you need to make sure there's no sin in your life. 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1 says, This is what I was telling you about. I've told you this repeatedly. I want you to know, especially those who get saved, sin can get in your life. We're not perfect. So when you get saved, you need to know what 1 John says right here. 1 John chapter number 1, we'll start in verse number 6. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. We need to keep up. Listen, we need to keep a short list. We need to make sure that we keep sin out of our life. We're to confess our sin. You've been forgiven. He says He cleanseth us. The blood cleansed us from all sin. He can't hold sin against you as far as whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. But if you get sin in your life, in this Christian life, then it breaks fellowship with the Lord. God can't fellowship, you know, just like one of your kids. Praise God, y'all seem to have a good conversation or a good relationship with all your kids. But if one of your kids went crazy and started doing something that you told them not to, you may be talking to them at first, but there comes a certain point in time, just like Miss Barbara Tim, we talked about, that you have to cut them off and say, I'm done. I can't do you get your life straight now. See, that's the theme in the prodigal son that a lot of people miss. When you hear the story of the prodigal there in Luke chapter 15, I think it is Luke chapter 15, when you hear the story of the prodigal, the main thing there about that prodigal son is that a lot of people, that pivotal verse is, no man gave unto him. When that's what the problem with a lot of these parents, especially nowadays. They keep feeding these bunch of kids. They keep clothing these bunch of kids. Going out, this bunch of garbage going on in our country right now. If some parents would take back their credit cards and empty out the kids' bank account, because obviously the parents are the ones supplying some of these bunches. Y'all saw, I don't know how many of y'all saw it, but up there in, where was it? In Rochester, New York, I think it was. I know there was five of them from New York, all of them from well-off families, rich families up there in New York. And they's out there destroying property. And they's out there doing what they wasn't supposed to. Probably his parents won't do what they're supposed to, cut them off. The Lord won't condemn you to hell. But if you do get sin in your life, you've got to get it clean. You've got to get it confessed. Lord, I've looked at things I shouldn't have. Lord, I've talked to somebody I shouldn't have. Lord, I've done whatever it may be. I've thought things, I've said things, whatever it may be. We've got to, before we go trying to judge others and before we can help our brothers out, we've got to get the beam out of our own eye. We've got to get the sin out of our own lives. Number three, we need to be sanctified. We need to be sanctified. Sanctified is, in a general sense, is to cleanse, purify, or make holy. That's what it means. Sanctify here. Listen, when we're checking ourselves, we need to make sure that the Lord, that we're saved. We need to make sure we keep sin out of our life, but we need to be sanctified. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. You've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again just so you know. Some things in life may not be sin. They just may be hindrances. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 says it. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. All those that are before us, those are our cloud of witnesses. Those that have died for the faith that put us where we're at. Those that have given their life to preach the word. Maybe the person that you got saved under may have done passed on in this life. They're a witness to you. He said, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doeth so easily beset us. There are some things in life that aren't necessarily sin. You've heard me say it before now, I'm saying this evening. I'm not trying to tell you to go out and smash your TV or nothing. Some people, a TV, there's a lot of men of God, they preach totally against it. They don't have any grounds. They don't think a TV. And I leave it up to you. You've got to make up your choice. Some people, a TV is sin. Or a weight. It may not necessarily be a sin. It just keeps them from reading their Bible like they could. It keeps them from serving God like they could. It can be anything. I mean, it could be a farm. God may have thought, well, God bless me with this farm. But then it keeps you out. It keeps you from serving God because you can do something else. I mean, you know, when you think of somebody, when you think of Miss Barbara Tim, their house that they had there in North Carolina, they had a house. They had furniture, they had antiques, they had a lot of things. And it probably, at one point, kept them from serving God like they could because they were probably worried about that house, especially after it got broke into the first time. And it got broke into again. And that house wasn't a sin, but it was a weight on them because they kept thinking, one of these days we're going to be able to go back home. One of these days we're going to get to go. And eventually, God allowed it. You can, people may not think of it that way, but God allowed that house and everything to be taken from them. Why? So that now they're probably feel more free. That, you know, you hate to lose something. Probably a lot of people, most people I know, except for my wife, have sentimental value with things. My wife's the only person I ever met that has no sentimental value with anything I've ever seen. Some people, you know, I don't know if this was the house they had. It may have been the farm. I don't remember. Do you remember if it was her family's farm, the house they had? I think it was their family's farm. So it would have been in her family. But with that weight out of the way now, they can just serve God how they need to. Some things aren't necessarily sin. They're just weights that hold us down. We need to be sanctified. Before we go telling somebody else, oh, years ago, I don't know if I've ever told my wife, there was a man there at Fundamental Baptist Tabernacle. I heard a man there say, Miss Barbara, we was just fresh into Fundamental Baptist Tabernacle. We hadn't been there long. Well, I don't know if we'd ever even met. I'm pretty sure we've not even met Miss Barbara Tim yet. And one of the men there at the church, their truck had broke down out here. And one of the men said, I told them it wasn't God's will for them. Was going around telling us. I told them it wasn't God's will for them to go out west. I said it wasn't God's will for them to go out west. See what's happened? And man, I thought, I didn't know them people. I didn't know who they were at that point. And here that man was making a judgment call about two missionaries and what was God's will for their life. And this man, I won't say his name. My wife knows exactly who it is. In fact, they're told a story. This man was stealing from the church. We had them blade plug-ins, and he didn't like them. And rather than going to the pastor and saying, they bother me, whatever it may be, he kept stealing them. We kept going. We was having cleaning up there, and we kept going by them. Well, what in the world? With our pastor? Somebody's taking them. Found out later it was him. He was stealing them because he said it was bothering him. Rather than going to the pastor and say, Pastor, I got sinus issues, whatever. Can we find something else, do something else, or can we just not have these? He just kept stealing them. This is the man trying to make a judgment call about two missionaries serving God. A man that's stealing from the church. That wasn't the only thing that man did. I'm just giving you an example. Listen, we need to be sanctified. Sometimes in life, there's things in our life that just have to be cleaned out. That have to be cleaned out. Me and my wife have done that at different times in our life. Sometimes what happens, listen, sometimes you get sold out to God and you get to serve God like you should, and then you look over at that movie collection you got and you realize there's some movies over there that shouldn't be in that collection. We realize that. We, in our past, we had music stuff in our selection and got to deal with us. We went through there and we cleaned out our music selection. Realized there's some ungodly things in our music we didn't need to listen to. That may be that. Listen, before we go judging others, we need to make sure our life is sanctified. We need to make sure that we're saved. We need to make sure we don't have sins and weights that keep us down. Last of all, we need to make sure we're the ones sold out to God. We need to make sure we're the ones sold out to God.